Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You're listening to The Tillage Podcast with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, and you're very welcome to this week's Tillage Podcast. I'm Siobhan Walsh, and we're recording on Thursday morning, the 6th of June this week, for your records later on. Coming up on this week's show, we hear from the Northwest and sunny Donegal. We take a look at this week's tillage pages, make blackgrass a noxious weed, and of course have the grain market and weather reports. Well, the sun is shining again where I am, and Met Éireann has said in this week's paper that most of the country is in absolute drought. And look, there are small bits of rain in the forecast over the weekend, and crops do badly need that rain. Late sun spring barley crops are really suffering, some maize crops suffering, in general some rain needed to keep stress away and for good grain fill for winter cereals. Those April sown beans are getting dry. I suppose they don't have the canopy to keep a bit of shade on the ground. I suppose all beans, crops in general, need rain at the minute. It's difficult to spray some days, and look, try to keep it to the mornings and the evenings when the temperatures are really high to avoid stressing crops. I know this week sometimes the temperatures, look, I was in Louth and Donegal this week, and temperatures, you know, were fine for spraying during the day, but in other parts of the country maybe we're hitting higher temperatures. Weed control is difficult in beet at the minute, and some weeds are getting big, and look, they really need to be brought under control, and hopefully the rain at the weekend might help with some spraying and just cooling down conditions a bit. But look, in general, it's very hard to complain about the good weather. We had rain for long enough in March and the springtime. On the news pages this week, we have an update on blackgrass. The department has said it is moving forward with legislation to make blackgrass a noxious weed. This paper called for that about a year ago, and hopefully it will help to raise awareness and highlight the seriousness of blackgrass. That story's on the news pages. Also on the news pages, the minister was in attendance at that farm walk in Donegal this week, and he called on farmers to bring their ideas to help the tillage sector forward and to bring them to their farmer organisations who sit at the table of the Food Vision Tillage Group. And in passing, he said that he expects the tillage area to drop by inner around 1%. Okay, this week the majority of the podcast is coming from County Donegal, where I attended that farm walk that I was talking about. It was a farm walk and variety information evening on Drumby Farm. Indeed, that farm is where our own Irish Farmers Journal Stephen Robb comes from, and he's always telling me it's raining up in Donegal, but it was blue skies, sunshine and sunglasses on Tuesday evening. There was a great attendance of growers and really engaged growers at that walk. It was great to see John Dunn from Goldcrop and Tim O'Donovan from Seed Tech talk through hybrid rye, barley and oat varieties which had been planted for the day. And myself with Robbie Byrne of Precision Nutrition talked soil and cover crops, while Keen Maguire of Comex McKinnon gave a great rundown on supply and demand in grain markets. And we have plenty coming up from that walk now. We have Liam Robb of Drumby Farm, Robin Bolton of Caffrey to talk about crops, and then we had a chat with Keen Maguire as well about grain markets and prices. The farm is on reclaimed land and the bottom of that soil pit was made up of seashells. So here is Liam Robb of Drumby Farm to tell us how crops are looking. Liam, we've just had a really good crop walk here on the farm. You sowed some varieties there of rye and barley and oats. Places looking fabulous up here. What a day. Winter crops are looking well. You sowed them early, of course, up here.
We did. We sowed in a really good spell in September and they went in excellent conditions, actually. The advisors would say we were too early, but I'm happy enough.
In a year like this, I think it's proven that you were right. I know there's risks there of BYDV and disease and everything else, but looking at the rest of the winter crops across the country and people didn't get them sown, I think you did.
BYDV to a lesser extent up here, I suppose. We can go a bit earlier. Normally it's the harvest that holds us up from getting crops in early, but this year it worked out fine. Yeah.
So to date now, so far, what's the main job to be done at the minute?
Next job to be done will be flag leaf spray on spring barley.
We didn't see spring barley on the walk there, but yeah, so spring barley, when did you get to sow?
We started 20th of April, actually. Okay.
Which
is not unusual for us, but still was lit. We had nothing ploughed, we had nothing, just spring just turned out to be a bit of a disaster.
What varieties are you on up here, variety?
Variety is Planet, and we have a bit of Gerald. Geraldine as well, yeah.
Was there much disease on the planet? A lot of net blotch around us, but maybe...
No, not a lot of disease, no. Yeah. No. Good few yellow leaves now, which we're a bit concerned about at this stage.
Did you put on an aphicide?
We did put on an aphicide, But aphicide's sort of hit or miss, really, like.
And Liam, how did you come about sowing the varieties up here? It's great to... I think something that came up a lot in the walk was regional trials and the need for them. And, you know, I'd say sometimes it's frustrating in this part of the country, in the Northwest.
It is.
You hear advice for the South and it's a total different world up here at times. So it's really important to have these trials up here.
It is up here. Completely different, like what we'll travel to Carlow now in the next couple of weeks and we'll look at stuff down there. I think this is great. Bring the variety up here.
Doesn't work.
We would tend to look more towards the Northern Ireland, which is more relevant to us and the varieties there.
Yeah.
Obviously, some of the southern ones work well. We find more of a problem with spring crop varieties than winter crop. Winter crop's generally okay.
Okay.
Some of the spring varieties can be a way off the mark completely up here.
Yeah. Anything stick out for you in those trials so far? I know the combine will tell all, but...
To be honest, I'm very happy with them all. Okay. This year, you look across them, they all look superb, actually.
Yeah, they do.
No, nothing stand out now.
Yeah, okay.
Six rows, to be fair, six rows, we've got mixed results from six rows in the past. Maybe it was a later sown date, maybe it was just a rougher winter. This year, we just seem to hit it right, and they do look very, very well.
We passed a lovely crop of beet on our way down to the trials. Spotless as well. Weed control is going well for you.
It's so far, yeah. But we got to keep on top of weeds on beet. Yeah. If beet gets dirty, it's a mess.
It's very hard now in this dry weather, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, but it's Magnum, and it's doing well,
it's
thank
Magnum.
Goodness.
Magnum, okay, yeah. Yep. And what's the market like up here for it?
Father beet's new up here, we're the only growers, I think, up here,
are
actually.
You? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's done well. We've sort of doubled the acreage this last couple of years, actually. Okay. We're at, the same acreage this year as we had last year. We've able to market the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, we have fancy machines here in the yard. I know they're not all your machines. But we were talking about cover crops and you're sowing cover crops up here, are you?
We do cover crops badly.
It's not very easy to grow cover crops up here with the tight weather windows and everything. How are you getting on so far with them?
Okay, it can be mixed establishment. Oats is the one thing that we do sow and that will establish.
Okay.
Kind of regardless of weather.
Yeah.
But it's not ideal. You need the others in as well. Yeah, but getting in early, I suppose part of the reason why we have these two machines here is something that you maybe get into stubbles quicker and just do the job a bit faster and do it faster and do it better. What we're aiming at.
Yeah.
Both these machines probably have a place. We're trying to do it better. Mm-hmm. Cover crops are something that you don't want to spend a lot of money on. You don't want to spend a lot of time on. You want a good result for very little. And we're struggling to do that, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it's not easy. You dug a soil pit, and Robbie and myself were in the soil pit, but I said during the talk, I'm from Leash, and we're the only county that doesn't touch a county that touches the sea, and when we dug down, there was seashells at the bottom of the pit. It was the strangest soil pit I was ever in. But this is reclaimed land, Liam. Explain to us maybe some of the complexities of farming on this ground, or what way is it?
It's relative, well, it's pretty well stone-free, relatively easy to farm. Likes dry weather, but we on this particular plot here, we don't have any major drainage problems.
Yeah.
Other places, it'll be a heavier, that's shelly, sandy type there.
Yeah.
Other areas down there would be more glary, like it would be harder, it'll wet easy, excuse me, wet easier and take longer to dry.
Okay.
But that's okay there now.
Yeah, it was lovely ground. Robbie described it as velvet, and he's right. It's really nice. Very good. Look, Liam, thanks a million having a chat.
You're
it's
welcome.
Great to get a catch up on the crops, and thanks. It was a great walk. Thanks for having us. Thanks to Liam. And look, if you want to hear more on crops across the country, check out this week's Tramlines page. Conor Keogh talks to Kevin O'Gorman, Patrick Keogh and Alex Butler in Kildare, Wexford and Westmead. And it's a really interesting page again this week. On the tillage pages, I have a spread of what I saw when I was out crop walking with James Irish last week. James joined us on the podcast last week. And if you didn't catch it, here's a short snippet from that interview.
Native grain is critical to Brits in terms of animal feed production. The starting point to that is our seed production plant in Wainga. You know, it's like anything, it starts with a seed. And like, you know, it's amazing to think that, you know, when we put out seed there, that seed is going out to local farmers in the southeast of Ireland. And, you know, grain is coming back in, whether it be oats, barley, wheat, that's going for animal feed or going directly to flavins for porridge and directly for human consumption.
Now here's a word from our sponsor.
Are you looking for a single fungicide that will control all the main diseases on wheat, barley, oats and field beans? Syngenta has the answer with Elaticera. Fully tried and tested under Irish conditions, Elaticera, a combination of SDHI and triazole chemistry, delivers powerful, consistent performance every time. On wheat at T1, Elaticera brings strong and persistent septoria control, best-in-class yellow rust control, as well as eye spot and mildew activity. On barley, no fungicide has a broader spectrum. Elaticera offers top performance against diseases like Rhynchosporium, net blotch and eye spot, as well as mildew and brown rust. Elaticera is the number one fungicide on oats, controlling a full disease spectrum and delivering the highest yields. Fungicide choice is limited on field beans. Elaticera is a great new addition. It offers leading control on bean rust and excellent activity on chocolate spot. For more information, visit www.syngenta.ie.
At that farm walk in Donegal, I also caught up with Robin Bolton. Robin is an advisor with CAFRI in Northern Ireland, and I suppose that's the equivalent of Chagas down here. And he walked crops across Northern Ireland. So here's what he had to say. Now I'm joined by Robin Bolton. Robin, you might just tell us what part of the country you're in. We're up here at the walk in on Drumby Farm tonight, but what area do you cover?
I suppose I cover most of Northern Ireland as senior crops advisor with CAFRI. Predominantly most of the crops I'd be looking at are maybe more in the north of the province. So.
And Robin, God, it's a glorious day up here now today. We're blessed with the weather. I don't know, Stephen Robb's always complaining about the rain up here, but what way are crops now? Are they still okay around you for rain, or are they starting to show signs of drought?
Generally, most of the crops are still okay. Spring barley crops, maybe the ones that might struggle most because they were generally planted quite late, following the late March and April. So those crops are probably still a lot of fertilizers, maybe not fully taken up yet. If there was any late drop dressing to be done, that's probably not really into the crops yet. Conditions are warm, they're starting to race on through the growth stages now, and they're going to jump, we all know that, but it's just when that fertilizer gets fully taken up. So
when were the majority of those crops sown? Were they the end of April? Was there a lot of crops sown into May? Or
really would have been that last week, April and into May, just depending on the workload and farms, and rain sort of tended to fall out sort of patchy a wee bit over, so some places got rain, others didn't, and made better progress. And probably abnormally this year, generally the southeast of the province, County Down and that, tended to get it maybe wetter, more wet than they normally would. And maybe the northwest were slightly better off and were maybe slightly more ahead than normal with planting. So.
And those spring barley crops, Robin, have they got a first fungicide? Where are they at? What have they received so far?
I would say most of them now will have had like first fungicides, they've had a weed sprays. They sort of thought, you know, they're well into stem, you know, we're starting into stem extension now, they're beyond tiller and they're just getting into stem extension now. So the next few weeks, most of them will jump on ahead, unless from maybe some of the very late drilled crops, maybe not just quite there yet, but they're getting there. And again, the heat and that will keep them going. It's just the stress of if the moisture stress starts to kick in, depending on what happens in the next week to 10 days, I suppose, rainfall wise.
And how did you get on winter crop wise? What way are you percentage wise winter to spring compared to normal?
haven't seen any sense of yet, but certainly with us drilling, pretty much there was a couple of fairly heavy rainfall events early October that just sort of put a stop to it. So there was quite a few winter barleys drilled early, I suppose, with a good September, and drilling was fairly well on. I suppose people were nervous, I think, following last year with BYDV. They sort of held off a bit drilling, and really from about mid-October onwards, there was very little drilling. The conditions just changed so quickly. So, and probably slightly higher area of spring barley, so I haven't seen on any census figure, any ex-official figure yet, but there will be a wee bit more spring barley, I would think, about. And again, it was quite late drilled. Spring beans and stuff, I suppose they got a chance, some of them went in February, quite good testing just before the conditions broke in March. So some of those are looking quite well at the moment. But again, past experience would suggest hot spells can sort of tend to slow them off and maybe stop flowering. So it'll be interesting to see what impact this, if any, of this wee period has, or whether the temperatures have been high enough.
February sown beans in general look fairly well, but as you said, like pod formation and flowering stopping quickly is a risk there. But chocolate spot is a problem down south, particularly in the very south of the country. What way is disease on beans?
Haven't seen a huge amount yet in any of the crops I've been in. I haven't been in many of the very forward ones. I suppose it's something in our experience here. We've almost tended to shy away too much from getting too much fungicide onto beans. Being so far north, the more fungicide you end up late harvest and you can run into real problems. So generally our recommendation would sort of be at very most one, maybe if none at all, particularly if they're later planted. This year they're a wee bit earlier, would be maybe more saying to people, well, if you want to try a fungicide, maybe this is the year to do it. But yeah, always in our back of our minds is actually getting them cut.
So, and on that fungicide, is it just a fungicide? Is there nutrition with it?
Generally, just be fungicide, unless there's any tissue analysis running to suggest that it needed anything particular, but mainly just based on soil analysis. Okay. Some of them, we were involved with the A-N project there, so it was showing a couple of years ago, it showed a wee bit of sort of maybe boron and molybdenum type, which was something we hadn't maybe thought on before, so some of the crops would be getting that now. Very little, well, maybe not a lot of evidence as to how much, because it wasn't really done on comparative trials as such, but it was just more based on the tissue analysis.
Winter wheat then, are you at the final fungicide spray yet?
Just getting there, I would think that there will be this week. Now I was in some wheat just yesterday, and you've just seen it starting or post-flowering almost, I suppose, really, when you're seeing the pollen stuff coming out on it. So it's just getting to that stage where I suppose they should be getting it now. It's fairly well headed, so.
Victoria levels up to now, what way have they been? Have they been high or low? Or?
Certainly, I suppose for coming out of the wet period in April and that, yeah, there was a bit of pressure. But at that stage, it was still fairly cold, so maybe not the worst we've ever seen. But and I suppose this dry spell now will certainly slow it down. The concern now would be you take your eye off the ball and we get a turn to a bit of a rainfall, and the temperature now at this time will accelerate very quickly. So wheats have quite a way to go yet, so it'd still be important to keep them covered.
Yeah, that tea tree will be important. And have you many spring oats or spring wheat, Robin?
Some spring oats, maybe more for the quality market. Haven't been any crops actually myself as such in spring oats yet. But again, they'll be late, they'll be slow because you know the drilling periods just weren't there, and so that there will be a later crop this year.
Yeah. Robin, thanks a million for talking to us and giving us an update.
Thank you.
Thanks to Robin for taking the time to chat. Now, there are plenty of tillage events on across the month of June. I've listed some of those events on this week's paper on the tillage pages. The Drummonds open evenings are on next week. Gold Crop is next week and the week after. Crops and cover crop cultivations, of course, that Chagas and the Irish Farmers Journal are running together is also the week after on the 21st, and Seed Tech is on into the start of July. There are plenty more events on across the country, so keep an eye out and get out to see the research, to see the varieties, and of course to chat to people and your fellow farmers. Okay, next up, I'm sure you're all eager to hear about grain markets. Here is Keane Maguire of Comex McKinnon. Keane McGuire, we're up here in Drumby Farms and you're after giving a talk. Keane, you work for Comex McKinnon and you had all the answers there tonight, all the good news by the sounds of it. You had a few key points there in your presentation, Keane. I suppose you talked a lot about China and Brazil and oilseed rape. There's a lot of grain in the world at the minute.
Yeah, I suppose overall we've been on quite a journey over the last 12 months, coming from a period 12 months back wondering, was Black Sea going to stop exporting grain completely? Would grain leave Russia? Would grain leave Ukraine? There was fear that maybe 15, 17 million tons of grain could get stuck in Ukraine and not be exported at all. We had a drought in France. It probably had its worst maize harvest probably in about 30 years. Knock on to that was the EU as a whole had its worst maize harvest in about 15 years. We had concern then with US corn in the same season. Now, it probably turned out US corn done better than probably what was expected earlier on. But at the time, back in spring, you had these four or five issues coming together. India being another country, has turned out is actually after having a record wheat crop, but at the time as well, it was fearful that it may not happen due to bad weather. So we had 4 or 5 different countries with perceived problems, real problems, came together, drove the market to where it was at, made it unviable probably for a lot of consumers of grain at the time. So since then, you know, we've been kind of on a journey then, probably since September. Is the journey over yet? It's very, very hard to tell.
Brazil is one country you mentioned there. And, you know, they've 2 maize crops. They're got, what did you say, 165 million ton of grain and oilseeds is going to leave Brazil this year. And is their production going to continue to get bigger?
Yeah, so Brazil is an amazing country for what has produced from an agricultural perspective over the last number of years, or where it's come from to where it is now and where it's going. Brazil 10, 15 years ago wasn't really a big exporter, or wasn't a country you would read much into daily or weekly. But see, the beauty about Brazil is that it has a 2-crop system due to its climate. So Brazil will harvest soybeans usually in Jan, Feb most years. Yeah. It will get corn straight in after that, which is going to be harvested. Some of it being started now, some of it will continue into August. Yeah. Now, that second corn crop is what is referred to in the media, even though it's called a second corn crop, and there is a first corn crop which is cut earlier on the season. The first corn crop this year is estimated to be about 25, 26 million tons. Okay. That's kind of used domestically in its own, within not exported to a great extent. Yeah. The second corn crop is forecast to be maybe touching 100 million tons of grain, which is currently being harvested. Now, that grain will find a home. China wouldn't have been a buyer of Brazilian corn at all. They hadn't had a trade agreement. That trade agreement has been put in place this year. Yeah. So since the start of this year, just gone, there has been flows of corn to China from Brazil. And once this harvest now is in full swing in Brazil, that is going to ramp up to a great level. You mentioned the figures about 165. So at this moment, it's probably the first time it has been forecasted by the USDA, but it is appearing that Brazil could export maybe about 165 million tons of grains and oilseeds combined out of the country this year, against maybe about 150 million tons produced by the US. So it's the first time on record that Brazil potentially could export more grains and oilseeds than the US. Now, there's different reasons for that, you know, probably better production prospects in Brazil than the US. Yeah. And, you know, might not happen every year going forward, but it goes to show the powerhouse that Brazil is and will continue to be. And I suppose one final point on that, the view or the feeling within the market is that over the next kind of 10 years, even by 2030, Brazil could be up at 200 million thousand tons of corn production. At the moment, it's probably combined first crop, second crop, maybe 125, 130. So okay, the growth, or the road to bigger tonnage and bigger growth in Brazil is there, and it's being paved as we speak.
Okay. I suppose a better story maybe for grain price. Tell us about China and their milling wheat.
So at the moment, and it's only in the last number of days, it seems to be coming out in the media, and it only has happened recently anyway, that China has suffered some massive rainfall in some of its main wheat growing regions. So China is the biggest consumer of wheat, biggest producer of wheat. Now, obviously, they're an import because there's such a requirement for forage that doesn't come onto the world market, but they're a big wheat player. They were hoping to have 130, 140 million tons of wheat this season. They reckon 10, 20 million tons of that at the moment could end up being affected only recently by this excessive rainfall. It's been reported that some of this grain has started to sprout and will not be filling fit for milling consumption. Now, the silver lining in it for us, and it's hard to know what may happen, if it becomes unviable for milling, it'll be end up being classed as feed, which can be used within the feed industry within China. I suppose that will displace, you would imagine, corn, you know, from the likes of South America, which China is starting to favour over US because they have such a big crop looking for a home, or Australia, which they have started to export large volumes of wheat from in the last kind of season as well. So, look, we've done flip of the kind from last year. Last year, we had a lot of countries that had production issues, supply issues. We were unsure of where we're going to get grain from when the Black Sea thing first took off. You know, follow on 12 months, we've now a lot of countries that's seemingly going to produce or have produced a big tonnage of grains and oilseeds while, you know, consumption probably has reduced. Normally, demand can be consistent enough, but demand has had reduced over the last 12 months due to high prices. You know, certain countries weren't able to afford feed grains. Some industries just weren't viable and they would have switched off processing plants and that for a period. And it does take time for this demand to come back on stream. It will come back on stream. Future is bright at the end of the day. You know, tillage industry, whether it be in Ireland or globally, is very, very important. We all need grain. But the days of, you know, the 400 that we have seen is probably gone for the moment.
you talked about oilseed rape as well, and you know, we keep hearing about the Australian oilseed rape crop. You talked about Canada there tonight. There's loads of oilseed rape around as well. So what did you say about Canada? Growers are on track for one of their biggest harvests.
Yeah, so at the moment Canada will harvest the rapeseed post this summer, September onwards, you could say. Yeah. It's looking like they're going to have quite a big rapeseed harvest. Yeah. They are very, very large, important exporter globally. So same again, as we mentioned earlier on, weather patterns have changed. Australia got the benefit of El Niño for the last number of years. They would have got a lot of rainfall, which means they've produced their biggest wheat crop just gone by on record. Knock on to that was they produced one very, very impressive rapeseed crop as well, looking for an export market. Now, funny enough, the issue with Australia is actually not production, is actually export capacity, that because they traditionally don't have this sort of tonnage available, they don't have the infrastructure, even though it's still quite impressive, but to export the level of grain that they have. So it's going to be probably a drip feed to the market overall. Now it will come out and it's there to be shipped. So look, rapeseed in general, same again with wheat, it's probably hard to see how rapeseed prices will recover now. They have definitely done a big nosedive over recent weeks. Is there a chance for them to bounce? Yeah, no doubt. There is a feeling probably of maybe oversoldness in some of the markets temporarily, but there is a lot of rapeseed out there. You know, EU included, even this year gone by, even on Irish levels, a lot of more rapeseed had been planted this year due to the early harvest and good growing conditions back in August. Yeah.
Keen, all these things put together, and I hate to be negative, and you're a tillage farmer as well, so you don't want to be negative either. You want a good price for your grain as well, but it's not shaping up for a great price. Well, given we're still at record high prices, I think we can't forget that, but we also had record high input prices. So whether we'll get a good enough price to cover those costs it's looking questionable at the minute.
Yeah, look, that's a tricky question. I suppose I'd hoped you wouldn't ask it. I suppose it's very difficult to answer, really.
I don't think there is an answer to it, but the information that's there, what way is it pointing towards?
I suppose what I would say probably on grain price, you know, it is relative to an extent. Now, at the end of the day, we would love €400 to be the price again, without doubt. And I suppose it's hard to see that it might be, if not impossible. But it is relative to the farming system that is there. You know, it is only one factor of the tillage farm. You know, you do have land costs, whether it be owned, rented, fertilizer inputs, you know, using artificial or organic fertilizers. So to answer your question, you know, do we think we're going to see the high prices we've seen over the last 12 months? That probably doesn't look overly likely, just purely on the basis of the huge production increases and productive regions in the world that are having or hoping to have or have had good prospects, while demand, yeah, it hasn't disappeared. We probably are a wee bit over negative on demand destruction. It's probably maybe not as bad as what's being portrayed. There is an element of, you know, delayed demand to an extent, okay, that, you know, people are holding back from buying, mm-hmm, whether it be in Ireland or whether it be across Europe or the world. You know, people that feed mills, ethanol plants, whoever uses grain that would normally like to plan their business 6, 9 months, 12 months forward, buy a tonnage, have been holding off, you know, and not even that they're comfortable in doing that. They just have felt that they have got burnt for the last 12 months, and by moving too soon at each stage over the last 12 months hasn't really stood to them. They probably feel now is, look, we're just going to wait and see how it all plays out. Okay. Partly because, you know, at the moment, with the US, with Australia, with China seemingly slowing down and all these good prospects, there is no real road. It doesn't seem to be a road to higher prices. Now, we can't, for 5, 10, 20, 15 euro variation, that's impossible to predict. Prediction is next impossible regardless, but you know, 50 euro 60 euro up is hard to envision. Year to year prices purely formulated on supply demand, or what this perceived supply demand is in the industry or in the globe. You know, if we think there's going to be an escalation of war, we think there's going to be a bad corn crop in the US, that's what drives prices, you know, day by day, week by week.
Yeah, and as you said, Keane, grain prices and the only factor there, people need to sit down, need to look at their books, think of land rental, all these other costs. Look, Keane, thanks very much. I've taken up enough of your time. Thanks for joining us.
That's great. Thank you.
Thanks very much to Keane for joining us. And look, as I record the podcast this morning, the Motif for December finished at $233.75 per tonne. It closed on Wednesday evening at that price. And then just looking at oilseed rape, oilseed rape dropped a little bit again. So August oilseed rape at 421, November at 421.75 per tonne. So that's down. Look, they're down between kind of 775 and 850 per tonne. So a drop again there last night. Just to give you a bit of a bigger picture of where they have been, I suppose that price finished at 236 on Tuesday, but it had risen like on last Wednesday, the 31st of May, it finished at 224.25. So it has recovered slightly over the week. And oilseed rape has seen a bit of a recovery as well. So on Tuesday, like that price was at 433.50, and we hadn't seen prices like that for about a month or more. Now, it was a significant drop, obviously, from Tuesday to Wednesday. Look, we'll keep you informed on grain markets and prices anyway. Just an update on the Bort malt price. That average is currently at 260.75. And of course, there's a 10 euro per tonne charge to come off of that. So that's 250 euro 75 per tonne for your malt and barley harvest price at present. Look, that's the grain markets. Thanks very much to Keane for chatting to us at that walk in Donegal. Okay, the weather report, and I have the weather report in here from Met Éireann in front of me. So Friday will be a dry day for most, hazy sunshine. Cloud will encroach at times in the south and west. Highest temperatures from 19 to 24 degrees, possibly reaching 25 in parts of the west. Saturday, warm and muggy day with the best of sunny spells in the morning. Showery outbreaks of rain in the south in the morning will gradually extend northwards through the day. Highest temperatures of 19 to 25 degrees, and it could reach 26 degrees in parts of the west again. Forecast for Sunday, a great deal of cloud to start with, limited sunny spells, scattered showers, highest temperatures of 19 to 25 degrees with light to moderate southerly winds. For Monday to Wednesday then, overall staying warm and quite humid with the chance of some afternoon thundery showers. Maximum temperatures will generally range in the low to mid 20s. Monday will start off dry, good deal of sunny spells, scattered showers through the morning and afternoon. Similar on Tuesday, with the northeast most likely to see the thunderstorms, potentially cloudier on Wednesday over the southern half of the country, while further north will likely see the heaviest showers. And just to look at the rainfall there, look, very little rainfall Thursday, maybe a slight bit in the southwest, Friday a little bit in the southwest and west. Saturday then, look, there looks to be some bit of rainfall across the country, but in varying amounts. The northeast 7 mil, the west 10 mil, and then kind of 3 to 1.43 is the mils on Sunday, and not much rain then Monday or Tuesday either. 5 mils of rain possibly in the northwest on Wednesday. Okay, that's it for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. A big thank you to our guests Liam, Robin and Keane. Thanks to Claire and Jerome for editing back at base, Syngenta our sponsor, and you of course for listening. Keep the sun cream on, stay safe, and keep the tillage flag flying.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.